In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we gather here on this Christmas Eve, remembering why we're here, as we know Jesus is the reason for the season, as the bumper sticker tells us, but we really know that to be true. But as we were preparing coming to this night, I was thinking more about Titus, which should give you great relief, since it's only a few verses. But see, Paul, as most of us would believe, is writing to Titus in the first century. Titus is taking care of a church plant. And strangely, there's a lot of struggles in the church. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? They're struggling with some false teaching, which was fairly normal. Strangely, it still is. And a lot of concerns about the strength of the leadership in the church. And that's Paul's focus of his letter. And as I was looking at that and reflecting on that, I was realizing not a lot has changed. We still live at a time where there's a false teaching going on in and around us, and it's happening in society around us, it's happening in the church, it presses in, amen? Presses into our lives individually, presses into our lives as a faith community, presses in everywhere. And then there comes the question of strength. Are we going to have the strength to stand on the truth? We're here tonight to remember the truth. But just like now, at this time when Paul was writing the letter, sort of societal norms were pressing back in. Sort of the Jewish traditions were pressing back into this newly formed Christian church, although it wasn't yet called that. And I thought that sounds a lot like the world we live in today, always dictating to us what it should be, how we should behave. I've lived long enough now that I'm just like, I have no idea how to keep up with what's okay, what's not okay. Maybe you have some of the same struggles. Unless you're a lot younger, then you're just thinking, I have no idea what's going on in the world. Check with me in a few years. The world's always doing sort of the same thing. We just grab a hold of different topics along the way, and we press them in, but tonight we remember the one true thing that has never changed, and that is our God. So we grab a hold of it tonight, and we realize that we stand at a place where it's a struggle. So even as we were preparing for this Christmas season, which is just beginning, by the way, and it's not ending. I don't care what it says on the Culver's sign. The 12 days of Christmas haven't started yet. That somebody stop by and let them know. But the reality is, we've been preparing. Some of you maybe just got here just in the nick of time after preparing. And the world will tell you, you got to have just this. You got to have the right gift. You got to get it wrapped. You got to get it to the right people. You got to have the right food. Everything has to be just right so you can have the perfect Christmas. Amen? It's got to be perfect. And if it can't be perfect, you better get the perfect picture to put on social media. Otherwise, the world will think you did not have a perfect Christmas, and we can't have that. So we struggle for that because that's what the world tells us we need to be. We need to be perfect. We go through a lot of struggle here, too. We think, well, we got to do this right. We got to get the bulletins right, which we don't. I mean, they're bad. I'm not going to lie. We messed it up. Make notes, send it to the office. But the reality is we try because we think we got to do this right because people will come visit us tonight, some people for the first time. And we want to make sure that they have the perfect worship experience on Christmas Eve. And then we realize maybe we can't really do it perfect. Maybe we shouldn't do it perfect. I mean, I hope we don't have to. I've been doing this a few years now. I've yet to get it right. But society tells us it's got to be just right. Because if it isn't just right, did it really happen? And what a great day for us to hear what Paul is telling Titus. We don't need to do it better. This is really a good reminder for us to just Get focused on the truth. So verse 11 in chapter 2, he says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's what we've been doing all through Advent, is waiting. "He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds." See, Paul is reminding Titus, get down to the basics, brother. In a previous manifestation of my life, I used to work on engineering copiers. Pretty exciting, right? So you would go in there, they're 3 feet wide. Anybody ever have a problem with a copy machine? I mean, they've gotten a lot better over the years. Now imagine a 3 foot wide piece of paper, 2 foot by 3 foot. Imagine what a copy machine can do with a piece of paper that big. So you'd show up on site and they'd show you what was wrong with it. And most of the time you're like, I don't know. No, you didn't tell them that. So you'd take the whole thing apart and you'd clean everything and you'd replace anything that looked worn and you'd put it all back together. You'd check all the electronic pieces, make sure all the settings are right. And you'd plug it back in and you'd start it up and run it and it would work. And they'd say, "Well, what's wrong with it?" And you go, "Well, we call it baselining the machine." See, Paul is helping Titus baseline his machine. You're getting all caught up in what the world's telling you should do. Your leaders are freaking out because if we tell the people they can't do it that way, then maybe they won't come back and they won't like us and, well, we can't have that. We're trying to build a church here, not run people away. So the leadership's getting a little weak and the old behaviors are sneaking into the church and the church doesn't really look like the church. And it sounds too familiar, doesn't it? So we go running after it. This season, we go chasing after what should be perfect and doing all these perfect things and making sure we have the perfect holiday and make sure we have the perfect gifts and the perfect food. And then we remember just before people start to arrive, "Did you close the bedroom door where we piled all the stuff that's usually littering our lives? We got to make sure that door is closed because somebody might see it, amen? Anybody got that room? Man, we got two. But we got to make sure nobody sees it. Got to make sure the house is right." Try to do the same thing with the church. We reschedule our cleaning crew to come on Monday night this week instead of Tuesday night, so the place would be clean when you all got here. You're welcome. I bet you probably noticed. And then we come to worship. I hope. But then we get caught up in the stuff again. And it's hard to worship. Because we're sitting here listening to this guy going on and on about, I don't know what, to Titus, whoever that guy is. And really, I just got to get home because I didn't get all those cookies baked yet. There's still a salad to make. Still got to wrap some gifts. Anybody? Yeah, me either. You know why? I didn't buy any. Check with my wife. She knows. But the reality is, what we're given is the same opportunity Paul was reminding Titus of. Let's just baseline it, you know? Let's not worry about whether or not the bedroom door is closed and whether God can see the clutter of our lives. Because he can. He's already seen it. We even go the extra mile. Man, I even wore a sports coat tonight. Not right now, obviously, because that's just one more layer I don't need. You know, we're presenting ourselves. And it's good to do that when we're getting ready to come before God. But what if we just kind of let go of all the stuff for a minute? And just come before God together. We all got that closet full of junk that we don't want anybody to see. That one room we don't like to go in. We certainly don't want to invite Jesus into that room, do we? What if we do invite him in? What if we do that tonight? What if we just for a second, with the world still going crazy out there, maybe more so than usual, we live like 6 miles from here. Went home between services, 4 people almost hit me. One of them going on the wrong side of the road, going the wrong direction, coming right for us. People are distracted, or maybe inebriated. But the reality is, the world is constantly pressing in, brothers and sisters, especially in this season. And what if we just come and worship? What if we just take this reminder that Paul was giving to Titus? What if we just come as we really are? Leave all the doors open. Even that one closet's got all the junk in it. You don't want Jesus to see. And you just lay it out and just put it before him tonight. See what he might do with it. See how he might draw you nearer. See how he might, as it says in here, purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. We could just be his people tonight. And with all the things going on and all that's happening in the world, all the preparations that were made, all the other things happening, and for whatever reason you showed up here to worship, or you found it too hard to tell grandma you didn't want to go, whatever it might be, what if we just realize that God's grace always moves first? And you're here because God called you to be here tonight, to just take a moment and lay it all down in this busy season and open all the closets, lay it all out, and listen very, very closely. Just baseline your faith. If you don't get anything else out of anything that happens over these next 2 days, I need you to know this from the depth of my soul. I so want you to know and hear why we're here tonight. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. To all. Merry Christmas.